Welcome from your grace. Welcome back to the Daily Grace with Alan, Monday, chapter 8. This year, today we're looking at Christian Tales with our very wonderful host, and let's start with the word of prayer. Almighty King of Kings, I want to thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for the gift of life. I want to thank you for the gift of provision. I want to thank you for always being there for us, Father, where we have gone wrong in our thoughts, in our actions, where we have offended you, Father, may you please forgive us. I want to thank you for the gift of this beautiful day. I want to thank you for the gift of all our plans, Father. May you bless them. May you bless the works of our hands. All those who are sick, all those who are in pain, Father, may you come and heal them. May you stretch your healing and upon them. All those who are at work, Father, may you grant them peace, that they may come back to glorify your name. We pray all this believing and trusting in your mighty name and the faith of your Son, Jesus Christ, who strengthens us. Amen.
Amen. Let's go. That's a great prayer.
Let's go. Thank you very much. I'm really so happy to have you on the
Me
podcast.
Me too. I'm excited.
You are literally the second guest we have this year, and I think our final guest for the year, and we're really happy to be with you.
Awesome.
So, like, when we get to start, who is Elijah? Maybe you get to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Yeah, so my name is Elijah Zilke. I grew up in northern Wisconsin in the United States, which is very cold. We have snow like 5 months out of the year, and it gets like negative 20 degrees. It's cold. And I graduated from there, and then I went to college and got a major in youth, children, and family studies to help me to become a pastor. And now I moved to Florida, and I am a children's pastor at this church in Tallahassee, Florida. So I work with kids a lot. I do a lot of things in schools, and I do kids services, and I disciple young youths. And then I also do lots of ministry on social media. I do a lot of Instagram posts at least once a day, maybe even more. But like, I do a lot of that, and God's been good, and God has given me a heart to share the gospel and whatever I do. And I always had a heart to share the gospel. I always had a heart to make videos, and from YouTube videos to TikToks to Instagram reels, whatever. I want to share the gospel, and I've always had a heart to do that. And it's been so cool to see God allow me to do that and see lots of fruit from it. So that's a little bit about me.
Yeah, like, thank you very much. Actually, I got to find out about Elijah through Instagram. Yes, yeah, Instagram, some Instagram reels. And when I really messaged him, I was really so happy that you didn't hesitate, because, you know, it's really hard. And that humility that you have to reply to, like, DMs, it's, you know, I'm sure, like, many people message you, but that time that you really have, I pray that really God guides you and, you know, bless you in your journey.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I try to, like, respond to people. Sometimes I can't. Sometimes I don't know if it's, like, legitimate or whatever. But, yeah, now I just want to have a heart for whoever. And I just want to keep that no matter what, no matter how many followers I have, even if I have zero, or even if I have a million. But I want to always love people no matter where they're at, no matter who they are. And that's my goal. And obviously, the more followers you get, it's harder to like to see everyone's messages, but I try as much as possible.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's that humility, you know. As ambassadors of Christ, we all to be humble. We have to portray him. And I feel so many times when we start, like, our journeys and Christ elevates us, like, along the way, we tend to get so proud, like, so many Christians get so proud and lose track like that. And in the end, they end up losing the purpose for a journey that they started, and you find it not beneficial. So the fact that we can keep that humility going on and on is just a blessing. And
Yeah. That's good. Maybe. That's my goal. I don't want to be prideful. I don't want to be arrogant, because that's when you get into dangerous situations.
Exactly. Elijah, could you share with us about your Christian journey. How has it started? Have you always been like this? Are you a pastor? Have you been born in ministry? How?
Yeah. Growing up, I did not want to be in ministry. I grew up in a Christian household, and like my dad and mom were Christians when I was growing up. And I grew up in a massive family. I have 12 siblings, 12 brothers and sisters. Yeah. Wait, so
are you the last?
No, I'm the eighth child. So yeah, I have a lot of siblings, and then they brought us to church, but part of me, I think I decided to follow Jesus, and they taught me the Bible and lot in the Word of God, which was amazing. But during this time, I don't know if I really had a good relationship with Jesus. I didn't really want to live for him as much. I was living in sin or whatever. And then my dad passed away when I was 16. And through that, I had to trust in God. I had to rely on him. Still not fully surrendered my life to him, I would say, at this time. I didn't completely surrender my life to Jesus until I was around 21. I was already in college. And I had a complete transformation, self-revival, where I repented of my sins. I turned away from my worldly desires. I turned away from other things of this world, and I surrendered everything to God. I surrendered my YouTube channel, things that I really wanted to be successful at. I gave it to God and just started living for him and started to seek him more. And through that, he gave me a burning desire. Because of my self-revival and what God did in my life, now I want to share other people and tell other people about Jesus, because I know what he can do in my life. Therefore, I know what they can do and what God can do in your life and what the Holy Spirit can do. And so, yeah, now, and because of that, I was at a camp and I felt God calling me to go into kids ministry and to let kids know that they have a Heavenly Father that loves them. My dad passed away, and I want other kids who are going through difficult situations to know that they have someone that's always looking out for them, and they have someone that loves them, which is God. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's really a beautiful story. Wow, it's really inspirational. And, you know, I feel it's easier to nurture a child into God, into religion, into somewhere, than to push an adult. I feel like if someone grows up like rooted in faith, there's that foundation that they have, like that inner, I don't know how to explain it, like there's that strength that they have, and it's yeah. Really, it's just,
I get what you're saying. Like, because I grew up in a Christian household, they had me memorize verses, they had me spent time in the Word of God a lot, which now I have that foundation. And when I finally decided to live for Jesus wholeheartedly for the rest of my life, I have that, and I can go back to the things that my parents taught me. So I think that's what you're saying.
You have a starting point. You have somewhere to begin with.
Yeah.
Speaking of Bible verses, what's your favorite Bible verse?
My favorite Bible verse is definitely Romans 12:2. It says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and know what God's will is for your life. And I love the whole chapter of Romans 12, because it's just so good. It's about offering your body as a living sacrifice, holy. I want to live as in a living sacrifice, and I want to live for God for the rest of my life. And there's so many other verses that I try to live my life off of, like never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And then never think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. And then always be willing to associate with people of lower position. And like, that's where it goes back to answering people's comments or hanging out with people, discipling people that normally people wouldn't think of doing because they're not as cool, or they're not as rich, or in a higher status, or they might act weird. I like to really base that off of, but there's like so many great foundation Bible verses about like love and like for God. I mean, John 3:16 is what we mention all the time, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And whoever believes in him will be saved. Like, that's so important. There's so many other great verses, like in Philippians 4:8 talks about like how to experience perfect peace is like giving all your worries to God. And yeah, tell him everything that you're going through, just like basic principles that we can just trust in him. Yeah.
And yeah, that's really beautiful. So there, could you be like, tell us like the challenges that you face as a Christian, growing up as a Christian and as a Christian today, like what are those challenges that you're facing and how are you trying to overcome them? Because you may find someone outside that is facing a similar challenge, but might be stuck and does not know how to move about it.
So in the United States, we don't deal with crazy persecution like other countries. Obviously, there's countries who they die for being a Christian, and I don't have to deal with that. I'm thankful that we can be a Christian freely without, you know, worrying for our life. But there are people, like at schools, you can get bullied or made fun of or whatever, laughed at. Yeah. Definitely made fun of. And because like now we live in a more secular world, which is like not religious, you know. And now when you live for Jesus, people make fun of you because you don't want to go party or do like bad things like everyone else do. So they like kind of bully you or whatever. One thing that I want to encourage people to think of it as an opportunity to be different. I don't know. For me, I love being different. Like, that's my favorite thing. I like to stand out. I like to be, I mean, that's what the Bible calls us to be, is to be set apart, you know, to live a holy life, which is outside of the world. You know, we're supposed to be salt, but like, yeah. So some challenges is that I was afraid to stand up for God when I was younger. I would say I was really, I didn't have the boldness like I have now, or the unashamed part of my life. I'm so thankful because the Holy Spirit definitely has given me boldness after I decided to live for him. But yeah, there's stuff like that. Don't be afraid, I would say to people who are especially like in school, and don't care what other people think if they make fun of you. Just brush it off, you know. It might be harder than just saying it, but yeah, that's it. There's different challenges for being a Christian, I would say, because like God has called us to do different things. And sometimes it's challenging when God wants you to do something. It's not always easy. Even being a pastor or like going up to random people and telling them about Jesus or helping them, because it's sometimes it can feel weird or like nervous or like, what are they going to say? But really they won't, you know, there's nothing bad that most likely will happen. But there's a lot of things that you do as a Christian that will be uncomfortable, and that's okay. You should almost be uncomfortable a lot of the times because God has called us to live, I would say even like an uncomfortable life. Because this world is technically not our home, you know, and we get to be with Jesus one day. That's where our home's going to be. So this is temporary, and I got to remember that all the time. And sometimes I get selfish and I think about myself instead of what God wants. And I got to continue to remind myself this. I need to not live for myself. I need to live for Jesus. So
yeah, I really acknowledge, like I feel that so many Christians are not proud to call themselves Christian. Like everyone wants to be like, they are proud, they're only comfortable calling themselves Christians when they're together with other Christians, you know?
Yeah.
Like when they're in that boundary, that gathering of Christians. But when people move over, people don't really like to be called Christians. Actually, today I was happening to travel. I was traveling like from one somewhere to another. I was in a bus and someone comes to pray and they're like, if you know Jesus has done something in your life and you're grateful as a Christian, raise up your hand. I can tell you it took like 10 minutes for people to start raising up their hands. And you know how everyone was, no one was trying to put their hands up straight. Everyone was like, and that just really got me thinking, like,
wow.
It's like we draw boundaries where we want to be called Christians. We draw boundaries of things we want to associate with. The people are so much into the world nowadays. Like, everyone basically wants to live on flesh, and it's just a funny world that we live in, and it's really challenging, and it's really up to us, the youth, up to us, the young one, because remember, we literally hold the generation, like we literally have power to deliver a generation, to train other people, and like we're soldiers of Christ, we're not going to let, we're not going to stop with us, like it's not, that's what I was told my friends.
Yeah, like, that's good.
Very few people are proud to call themselves as Christians and don't stand for their Christian values.
Yeah, we need to be unashamed. We need to be more proud because God has given us so much freedom and we get to live for Him. And that's good.
Exactly. And today I wanted you to share with us a small topic about God's love and what do you have in store for us?
About God's love, I just want to say that God loves you guys so much. He has an amazing plan for every single one of you. Like I just said before, for God so loved the world, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, and whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. And then John 3:17 says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And so, you guys, God loves us so much that He was literally willing to send His Son to die. Imagine you having a son willing to sacrifice him for someone else that you barely even know, or even if you do know them, that would be so hard. He has so much love for every single one of you guys. And I just know that for a fact, and we can go to Him. And just thinking about the prodigal son, you see, the prodigal son ran away from his father, took half of his father's inheritance and spent it all and left it alone. And you know, he squandered all of his money. That's what it says. And then he felt like he wasn't worthy to go back to his father as a son. He's like, what if I'm a servant? You know, what if I go work for him? But he goes back to, eventually after this famine and everything, he goes back to his father. And his father didn't even like think about it. He runs to his son and receives him with open arms. And he greets him with a kiss. And he threw a party for his son because he loved him so much. He didn't care that he's wasted all of the money. He didn't care any about that. What he really cares about is his love for his son. And that's exactly what the Father, God, what God will do for you. You see, we all have messed up. We've all ran away from God. There's a certain point where I'm sure we spit in God's face, where we did things that caused us to sin and fall short of the glory of God. But I want to encourage every single one of you, you can still go to Him and He will accept you with open arms and He will love you so much. And you don't have to get your life perfect before you go to God. You go to God and He will help you with your life, and you will go through a time of sanctification, and you will become more like God the more you seek Him, the more you draw closer to Him. And that's just what it's like. I just want to let you know that God is a heavenly Father and He loves you and He cares for you. And there's so many ways you can experience God and experience His love. And I just want to encourage you to do that today. Go to God. go to him, run to him. He will accept you with open arms, just like the prodigal son in a way. So, yeah.
Wow, Elijah, that's really a beautiful and inspirational thing that you have said. The story of the prodigal son is like one of my favorite parables in the Bible. And I feel like it's really one of the few parables that's, can I say, mimic what is happening right now, like nowadays in the world. Like, so many people go astray, like as you said, like so many people have really gone off.
Yeah.
And just the guilt of sin that they carry, a burden of sin that makes them feel, you know, so distant from the Lord. It's like quite alarming. Like people are starting to be comfortable in sin, not because they want, but because they feel like, you know, they've sinned too much, mm-hmm. and God can't forgive them. God can't, you know.
Yeah.
But because of his unfailing love, because of God's unfailing love for us, that he's always willing to listen to us. He's always willing to, you know, give us a second chance. And that we should not really take for granted, that we should not be okay, now I'm going to sin every day because I know God is going to forgive me. Like, we should not really do that. But God really listens, and he really, really, really understands and loves us. Like, imagine you said, like, it's one thing to give up your son to die for someone. It's another thing to give up your only son, like your only one. And he's dying for countless people who don't even, to be honest, deserve it. Like, we are just flesh. We do not owe God anything, but the mere fact that he does all this from the bottom of his heart, and it's just wow. Sometimes it just leaves me so speechless.
Yeah, that's good. God, that's good.
And maybe I wanted to ask you, maybe could you share to us how, like, you try to avoid sin and how you try to counter sin? Because if you see, like, sin is something that, I think, the major thing that blocks our relationship with God. Like, God says, I hate the sin, though I love the sinner. And I feel like sin blocks so many of us. And how do you go about it?
First, I would say that you need to ask God to forgive you of your sins. Know that once you do that, you can live with guilt, without guilt and shame, because God has forgiven you. God says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. So know that. And then I would say, live a life of repentance means turning away from your sin, going a complete 180, and then staying away from sin and resisting temptations is honestly being disciplined. What helps is spending time in the Word of God, reading your Bible, praying, have time set out of your day where you will pray and you spend time with him. And the more you read your Bible, the more you pray, the more you spend time with God, the more you'll grow closer to him, and the more you will want to do things in a holy way, in a life that Jesus wants you to live. And you won't want to do those worldly things. You won't want to live for the desires of your flesh because of what God is doing in your life. And that's just the process of sanctification, process of growing closer to him. The more you grow closer to him, the more you won't want to do the desires of your flesh. So I would say.
Exactly. And really testify on that. And I don't know if you notice, like, so many people nowadays are either too busy for God or find themselves in a position where the world is ever moving. How do you balance, ministry and everything else?
Balance, like, spending time with God and doing ministry and life.
And spending time with others and getting time just to do the things.
Spending time with others. Yeah, so that's a good question. I'm still figuring that out. Like, I make sure I spend time with God in the morning. In ministry, I'm running around all the time. Like, I'm at work right now in the office at a church, and and we had meetings, and I just got done with a chapel where I spoke to kids today, and we did songs and everything. But yeah, I really try to, and then when people like go out to eat with friends and people my age, I try to make sure I set time out so I can be with other believers and with other people, because it's easy for me to be alone. And I know that, but it's important for me to be with other people. So I try to like have a somewhat of a balance.
Yeah, it's really important as well. And what motivates you, Elijah? Like, what drives you? What is the driving factor to move and push? Because I know not every day is a bed of roses. I'm sure there are some days when you really hit the potholes and stuff.
Yeah, that's good. I would say what motivates me is the opportunity to reach people for Jesus. And just knowing being consistent will change someone's life. Be consistent. Like if you do something every day and another 30 days, if you did it for every day for those 30 days, your life will be totally different. It will grow so much. You'll make so much more of an impact when you're just consistent. And I know that sometimes I do a lot of things where I don't feel like this is doing anything. But when you look back 30 days, it really has made a difference. But yeah, there's just so many things I feel like God has called me to do. And I have dreams and aspirations where I want to like achieve. And I know that will help when I be consistent, when I post every day, when I read the Bible every day, when I show up to work every day, when I do this, everything. It's so important to be consistent, even when you don't feel like it.
Yeah, like, I honestly agree, because I can relate. I think I kind of talked about my podcast. Every day we post Bible chapters, like a chapter every day. And, you know, sometimes it's really hard, but like the number of people that, you know, reach back to me like, hey, thank you for helping me do this, helping me, that like it pushes you. And consistency is key. I 100% agree. Consistency is key. Like if you do something and you're not inconsistent, trust me, people end up, can I say, losing track. Like people, you know, no one wants to be with someone who is inconsistent and all that.
Yeah. That's good.
And I really want to thank you, Elijah, for surrendering your precious time to come and talk to us. I know you're really so busy, and sometimes I always talk about, like, sometimes people are going through a lot of stuff. They just want you to know that someone has gone through that same thing to give them that propelling force. And I'm really grateful. I'm really out of words. I will make sure I link all your socials everywhere. Please, everyone, take time. Yeah. I rarely watch Instagram Reels, but there's something about your Instagram Reels that I find myself going back and back and back. And I really like you guys to also share. And I will put them somewhere, and everyone will be able to see them. Maybe, do you have any last messages?
I just want to encourage everyone just to continue to live for Jesus. And seek him. He's worth it. He's worth it more than anything. He's worth more than fame. He's worth it more than money, more than relationships, more than girls, whatever. Having a relationship with Jesus is fine. So don't chase anything for this world, because it will just only satisfy for a moment. God always satisfies. So do that. That's so important. Read the Bible every day. Pray.
Thank you very much, Elijah. So do you want to close us off with a closing prayer?
Yeah. All right. Dear Jesus, thank you so much. I'm going to pray. Yeah. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity that we get to do this podcast together. God, I pray that you'll just bless Alan and bless God. I pray that he'll just be used by you so much, and that he'll touch so many people to live for Jesus, God. I pray that you'll just bless him, give him favor, anoint him in whatever he does, God, and help him to bring glory to you, God. I pray that people who are listening to this will be able to get saved and want to live for you for the rest of their life, God. I pray that they will be transformed and surrender everything to you, God. Pray that you'll just give everyone listening to this peace and strength, comfort them in the times of sorrow, whatever they're going through, God, help them to know that they can go to you and run to you with open arms, God. So thank you so much for loving us and dying on the cross for our sins so that we can be saved. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Elijah. That's really beautiful, and I'm really grateful that you took time